very the rules and the regulations was very tough. It wasn't easy, but this was the alternative plan. And so that's why it behooves us as leaders, as ministers, as people who are growing in faith, that we just got to be very careful that our decisions is we're responding for other people. They're not here to defend themselves. They can't speak, so we are their only voice. And so that's why we got to be very careful and mindful on the decisions we make. And sometimes we only make decisions based on how we feel and our emotions, et cetera, et cetera. So I want to dive into tonight about the veil. Let's just touch on the first and second and third verse. This is not really so much. I just kind of want to work our way through this to kind of build what we're trying to do. Let's go to the first verse, Exodus chapter 26. I'll give you some time to get there. When you get it, just kind of stick your thumbs up at me just to make sure that we're on one page. I'm not quite sure if I'm going to use a couple of translations tonight, but I may do so if certain words kind of not as simple as others, and we all know that to be the case. So I try my best to make sure that everyone can understand at the same time. So let me start off with the first verse. Moreover, I'm reading from the New King James. I'm going to start off there. Moreover, you shall make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine woven linen and blue, purple, and scarlet thread with artistic designs of cherubims. Anybody know what cherubims are? Okay, another word for angels. Okay, you shall weave them, and the length of it, of the length of each curtain shall be 28 cubits, and the width of each curtain 4 cubits, and every one of the curtains shall be the same measurement. Five curtains shall be coupled to one another, and the other five curtains shall be coupled to one another. And you shall make loops of blue yarn on the edge of the curtain on the selvage of one set, and likewise you shall do on the outer edge of the other curtain of the second set, 50 loops, and you shall make it like one curtain. Okay, this is just kind of giving us the setup on how God wanted to do the tabernacle. I don't want to talk about the tabernacle, but I just wanted to kind of give you the setup and the foundation. And he was very crucial and very detailed on how he wanted this to be laid. You notice God was very particular on colors, as we are, and he was very particular on measurements, as we should be. So there's nothing new under the sun. Now let's drop down to the 26, the 31 verse. I'll give you some time to get there. 31st verse. When you have it, just stick your thumbs up at me. Amen. Okay. You shall make a veil woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine woven linen. It shall be woven with artistic design, yet again, of what? Cherubims. So, now, just to kind of stop there just for a moment, just to kind of give you some visuals, these people, whoever was selected to do so, they were embroiderers. You had to be very detailed on how you needed to kind of sew. And they didn't have the machines that we have today. So these people were awesome. It was very crucial that God handpicked certain individuals and he gifted them to do certain things. You shall make a veil, verse 31 again, woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine woven linen. Y'all know linen is very thick material, very heavy. Not today's linen that we've come across them to. They changed it over and over the years, but this woven was no joke. It was thick. And it shall be woven with artistic design of cherubim. You shall hang it upon the four pillars of acacia wood overlaid with gold. Gold at this time was very heavy. Their hook shall be gold upon four sockets of silver. You shall hang the veil from this clasps. Then you shall bring the ark of the testimony there behind the veil. The veil shall be a divider. This is key now. The veil shall be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy place, which means it was a separation between your original, or let's say general location versus the VIP section, if I could use those terms. And you shall hang the veil from this collapse, 32, 33, I'm reading again. Then you shall bring the ark of the testimony there. behind the veil. The veil shall be a divider for you between the holy place and the most holy place. You shall put the mercy seat upon the ark of the testimony in the most holy. Verse 35, you shall set a table outside the veil and a lampstand across the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. You shall put the table on the north. You shall make a screen for a door of the tabernacle woven of blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine woven linen made by a weaver. And you shall make for the screen five pillars of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Their hook shall be gold, and you shall cast five sockets of bronze for them. So now it gives us the measurements, the colors, the size, and it gives us sort of the weight of what a veil was. This is how particular God was. And so I don't know if I'm going to kind of dive into the particular scriptures tonight, because I might have to pick this up on a part two. But it was very key that God only allow priests, consecrated priests, to go behind the veil. And so this, okay, so let me move on a little bit here. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 16. Let me start off at verse 2. I'll give you some time to get there. When you have it, just stick your thumbs at me. Okay, New King James Version. And the Lord said to Moses, here's the instructions. Tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil. This was very key as well. Before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he what? Die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. So God was very key that it would have to be specific times, specific days, that even Aaron, the priest, the high priest, the consecrated priest, can even only go into the most sacred holy place. I think I mentioned it to you before, but not too much in depth. I remember telling you that the priest used to have on this ephod and linen and different attire that God was very crucial and very detailed, that when he would go back there, there was a certain way that he got to present himself, not only for himself, for his household, but then he had to do it for the rest, the general public. And this particular situation here, he was talking about once a year. This was the atonement for the sin from all mankind. Now, by all means, they did sacrifice throughout the year, but it wasn't their sacrifice of atonement, which means to be reconciled back to the Father once a year. So you had to be very key on if you sin after that 365 days, now you got to wait till a whole nother year to get your sins forgiven. And so now you think about this, why the Catholicisms, how they come into play when, you know, and I don't want to get too far into it, but the Roman Empire, when they came in and they kind of took over the Jews and they had to, you know, pretty much enforce their regulations on them. That's where you get the Catholics in there, because they still feel like this is the Old Testament church. Now, let me read on some more so I can give you some more food here. Verse 2. Let me just kind of hit that again. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, your brother, not to come just any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Verse 3. Thus Aaron shall come into the holy place with the blood. Y'all know the blood of the New Testament, but this is the blood of the Old Testament. Of a young bull as a sin offering, and of a ram as a burnt offering. He shall put the holy linen tunic and the linen trousers on his body, which I touched on. He shall be girded with a linen sash, and with the linen turban he shall be attired. So God was very crucial on how a person out of parents look. These are holy garments. Therefore he shall wash his body and water and put them on. Do you see how crucial it was? God was very detailed. He wanted to make sure there was a certain way that you present yourself before our God. Now, this was very crucial. If you did not do it, it was consequences. Thank God for grace and truth. You see what Adam and Eve did? This is what caused this. Thank God we're under the dispensation of grace. Now, let me continue on. I'm going to go back to 4 again. He shall put a holy linen tunic and linen trousers on his body. He shall be girded with a linen sash, and with the linen turban he shall be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore, he shall wash his body in water and put them on. And he shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats as a sin offering, and 1 as a ram as a burnt offering. Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself. See, started off with you first. Don't try to go on for other people and your stuff ain't right. Your heart ain't right. So, you know, like when we go before God, before other people, we got to make sure our stuff is right before the Lord, because God ain't going to hear your prayers. God ain't going to bother allowing you to be an scapegoat or intercessor for anybody if your stuff ain't right or your hands ain't clean. All right, so let me go on. Therefore, you shall wash his body in the water and put them on, and you shall take from the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goats as a sin offering, and 1 as a rent, as a burnt offering. Verse 6, Aaron shall offer the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the meeting. Verse 8, then Aaron shall cast lots for the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the Lord's lot fell and offer it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord. You got to have a living sacrifice, right? And to make an atonement upon it, and to let it go as the scapegoat into the wilderness. This is all after it's done. Now, verse 11, Aaron shall bring the bull of a sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. He shall kill the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself. Then he shall take a censer. So the censer had to be pure. You ever heard the term when I say a sweet smelling savior? It had to be something that was presented to the Lord that his nostrils would not look down on it or frown upon it. So it had to be very careful of the sin offering. In other words, the fire had to be presented. It couldn't just be no strange fire, and it couldn't be a fire that you created yourself. It was a form of worship. The censer full of a burnt coals of fire burnt from the altar before the Lord. Now, the reason why it had to be a burnt offering, that it was done with fire, because it was supposed to purge the sin. That was symbolic of the Holy Spirit of those days, as he came in fire in those days, still do to this day, but he came in fire in those days. So in order for your sin to be not only cleansed, it had to be purged. So with the hope that you don't go back doing the very sin again. Okay, and Aaron shall bring the bull of a sin offering. I know I'm going back, verse 11, which is for himself, make an atonement for himself and for his house. He shall kill the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself. Verse 13, then he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, with his hands full of sweet incense beaten fine, and bring it inside the veil. And he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. He shall take some of the blood, which we know today is Christ, of the bull, and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side. And before the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle it, some of the blood, with his finger 7 times. 7 means completion. Verse 15, then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering. You see how so much it was like, so many different levels, which is for the people. Bring the blood inside the veil. Do that blood as he did with the bull, the blood of the bull. Sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. So he shall make an atonement for the holy place. because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because their transgressions, for their sins. So he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting, which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. Verse 17, there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the meeting. When he goes into make an atonement in the holy place, until he comes out, that he make an atonement for himself, for his household, and for all the assembly of Israel. After that, after he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord, make an atonement for it, and shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat, and put it on the horns of the altar all around. Then he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger, yet again, seven times, cleanse it, consecrate it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. Verse 20. Let me read 21. And Aaron shall lay both his hands and on his head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and their transgressions concerning their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and he shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of the suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all the iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat into the wilderness. Now, do you see all the layers and the things that a priest had to do before God's people for himself? It was very crucial because he himself could have died. And I think I shared this with you some time ago, that God even told him to make sure, tell Moses, to make sure bells was wrapped around him. So when he go into the holy place, and there was times in the past when a priest go behind the holy veil, when you did not hear the bells, the children of Israel was very scared, because that means that priest had to be dragged out. So even then, you think about this now, that means if the priest was behind the veil and you didn't hear the bells any longer, it was an indication God killed them, because God didn't play. And so you yourself could not have gone there. So the only way you could get him out was tie a rope around him and swing him out of there to keep you from dying. Thank God for Jesus. Now, this touches on the New Testament. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Let me see what I could do. There's only two verses I want to touch here. 51. I think I want to hit 51. Now, do y'all recall that I just discussed what was the offering as far as the animals? It was a bull, it was a ram, and it was a goat. You see how many different animals that God used, not in a particular form, but they all had to be without blemish. They had to be young. They had to be a certain age. No different than what Jesus was. Now, let's read this here. I'm going to walk right into it. Verse 49 is not what I want to touch, but I want to walk right into it. The rest said, let him alone. Let us see if Elijah will come save him. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Verse 51, look at this, y'all. I may end it with here. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom. Now, I want to stop, and I'm going to read this over again. The reason why I want you to understand, when you're reading it, you may not really get the visual effects behind it. The dimensions of this particular veil was about 60 feet long, 30 feet wide. 60 feet, 30 feet. So in other words, even in those days, you could not see behind it. It was all covered. And the weight of it and the material of it, it was impossible for even 300 priests to be able to get on their own or tear it by themselves. Impossible to even to remove it. It would take a supernatural effect in order for that type of material to split from top to bottom. Just to kind of give you some visuals. Now, verse 50, Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and he yielded up his spirit. Look at verse 51. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rock split. Now, you know in the Old Testament, God used three different animals. This particular one, Jesus was the sacrifice. Now, the Old Testament, it took a man and Aaron, the priest, the consecrated high priest, who was ordained to do this, the only one that was capable, besides his two sons, go behind the veil. He was the one that had to present the animals to make sure it was without blemish. He had to make sure that it was very particular on God's instructions. But here Jesus was the priest and he was the sacrifice, all in one shot. This is a phenomenal. I'm enjoying listening to reading this because it took one man with three goats or three, well, one goat, one bull, and one sheep. Here, Jesus is the person sacrificing himself, and he's the priest. Then look what happened now. This is the key. Once he cried out, verse 50, once he cried out again with a loud voice, he yielded up his spirit. But look what the timing of it now. Verse 51, the veil only torn after he yielded, which means that when Jesus gave up the ghost, there was no need to sacrifice that time any longer. It was old law at that point. So if those people who killed them did not believe him, they knew the crucial, how crucial it was for a veil to be dropped the way it was. They knew that something has changed. Now what God was showing us, because of our sins, we could not get that close to him. That's why the veil was to protect us from him killing us. So when Jesus gave up the ghost, the timing of it, you notice when he was on the cross, the veil stayed where it was. But it was up until the time when he left this earthly temple, this earthly body, and he transitioned over is when the veil was torn, what gave us access to get to the Father without a priest. Oh, man. God Almighty. No, you and I do not have to use a bull, a ram, a goat in those days. Then you had to kill it. And if you didn't have a stomach for it, you were in trouble. You had to watch all of that blood get sprinkled over. You notice he said seven times, which means, you see the crucial, one man was able to cover up all what that Old Testament could not fulfill. And they can only do it once a year. Jesus did it for a lifetime, for eternity. Thank you, Lord. That's the sacrifice. I'm trying to help. I hope you're getting this now. That's the sacrifice he made while he was on that cross from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. This is how crucial he is. He broke law, but the only way he could have broken the law that we was not able to, he reconciled us back to the Father. He was the atonement of the New Testament. And so when the veil broke and it tore, it gave us all, every last one of us, that we didn't have to wait for a new Aaron any longer. We could have went to the holy place. These people in the Old Testament didn't even have access. They could not get close to it. God told them, even you, Aaron, you can't even go in here at certain times. And you were the consecrated priest. So you know what that would have done for a lay member to try to go in and try to create a strange fire and burn some incense before the Lord and put on this attire, the attire that we have gave us the description in the Old Testament, and go before and go behind this veil. And I thought about this even more. I'm like, well, wait a minute here. He had to bring animals and he was the priest to bring the animals. Jesus was the priest and he was the animal. He was the sacrifice, all in one shot. And here we don't realize how crucial it is, our salvation and the benefits that it carries, that we don't take full advantage. Those people in the Old Testament have no understanding of what it was for the new. But I'm going to get to that point here. Let me read verse 50 again. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, which means he cried out already before because the pain. Remember, he was that animal. Remember, they was the one breaking him. Remember that when they broke him, blood came out. The same blood that was coming out of the Old Testament from the goats, the bulls, and the rams. He was all three wrapped in one. Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Verse 51, then behold, the veil of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves opened, and many of the body of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, coming out of their graves after his resurrection. You know what that means? That means for the people who was given a news or the good news about the Savior coming, the scepter is coming. They didn't have what we have. Well, today we've seen it after, but they didn't get the promise fulfilled during their lifetime. So now when Jesus did what he did, it opened up the graves for those in the Old Testament who believed in him. Oh, God Almighty. Look what verse 51. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom. And the earthquake, just letting you know, this was the Savior. And the rocks were split. And the graves were open. Talking about those who died in the Lord. The same way in the nut, when he comes back, those who died in the Lord, the graves are going to open. And many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the graves after his resurrection, in other words, there was no longer a separation. The promises has been fulfilled. The veil has been torn. They had complete autonomy to get to the Father. It was through him. Y'all remember when John, he says, nobody can get to the Father but by me? God Almighty, man. I'm getting excited about my salvation all over again. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints have fallen asleep were raised. I'm reading verse 50. Coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into a holy city and appeared to many. You know, Jesus was the one that did that as well. They was in celestial bodies, appearing to people that was living. Oh man, Jesus, I honestly think this is a reenactment of what shall be when he comes back. Oh, God Almighty, when our bodies get turned from this mortal to immortality, we're going to be transformed. When he comes back, thank God he ain't coming back to the earth. The grave's going to be split open, and our bodies will be caught up in midair. Our bodies and our minds will change by the twinkle of an eye. The same way, we're going to have the same body that Adam and Eve had once upon a time. Man, this blessed me to the point that I'm thinking all that they had to do, the rules, the regulations, the restrictions, it was like you can't even go to church freely. And here we have a difficult time being free and worshiping when we got complete autonomy to worship the Father with our hands lifted. But here we struggling when Jesus already gave up the ghost and the veil is torn. There's no separation. There's no curtain. I could go into the VIP anytime I get ready. I don't think we realize how great we have it. We are under the dispensation of grace. We're no longer. The law was broken as soon as he gave up his life. Not when he was getting crucified. Not when he was getting arrested. Not when he was getting betrayed. It didn't take place there. It had to take place when he gave up. Because once he died, the goat, the animal had to die first before the sacrifice could be made. Jesus was that sacrifice. He had to die. Look at this. You notice the scapegoat was able to go out? He was the scapegoat. God Almighty, Lord have mercy. If I were you, I'd get excited about my salvation all over again. Just in case you need a little fire up under you. Do you think, okay, I don't think we realize how privileged we are. That's why the angels are scratching their head. What is it about man that you're mindful of him? They trying to tap in to this sacrimony place. What is it about man? I'm going to close out on this last scripture. Let me go to Psalms 8. I'm going to close it out here. I may have to pick this up again. I don't know. I'm going to have to pick this up again. Maybe Sunday. I don't know. Psalms 8. Let me see what I'm gonna. Okay. Let me read this whole thing. This is not a long verse. Psalms 8. Oh Lord, y'all right there with me? Okay. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the sun, the stars, you have ordained. Now, here's the part. What is man that you're mindful of him? See? What is man? And the son of man that you visit him. For you have made him a little lower than angels. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I've heard a lot of pastors talk about this in the past, but there's other translations. It might be the Amplified. Let me see. Let me see before I quote this, because I'm not going to quote something I'm not sure here. Let me see here. Some quote says that we are even above angels. Let me read verse 3 from the Amplified version. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have established, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of the earth-born man that you are care for him? Yet you have made him. Okay, this one even says a little lower than God. A little, okay, there we go. A little lower than God. You notice that other translation says a little lower than angels. This is the translation that many people will believe. This is why the angels is trying to figure out the way man messed up, how you got him over us. God Almighty. Oh, Lord, have mercy. He says, when I consider, now let me drop it down. What is man that you're mindful of him? And a son, earthborn, talking to us. Aren't we earthborn? I thought we were earthborn. Tell me, let me know now. This with the translation, tell me. Earthborn, man that you care for him. He questioning. You notice there's a question mark? He's questioning. You have made him a little lower than God. Have you crowned him with glory and honor and made him to have dominion over the works of your hands? And you have put all things under his feet? God Almighty. Man, we are so blessed. I'm going to just close out on that right there. If you ain't blessed by that, I don't know what to tell you. Your salvation should be revived at this point. That you reminded, just in case you forgot, the confessions you made a long time ago and that you believed in your heart according to Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 10. That right there again, just reminder what Jesus had to go through. He was the living sacrifice. It wasn't that Aaron sacrificed his life. He sacrificed the goats, the scapegoats, the bulls, and the rams. But Jesus was that. He was the priest, the goats, the bulls and the ram. Jesus, my God, he was all of that. No lacking in him. He was everything for us. So that's why we shouldn't lack anything through him. He was the fulfillment of the New Testament. But look how it happened. He had to be betrayed to get there. He had to be arrested. Look at the abuse he had to take before giving up the goats. Those three animals wasn't arrested. Neither was the priest and Aaron. He was arrested and betrayed. Beaten, taken to jail, going from one judgment hall to the next. Mocking him, giving him wine with vinegar. Oh my God, they tore him up into pieces, throwing 39 cat long nails into his skin. He was those three all up in one. And once he gave up the ghost, the doggone thing tore open, man. I said 60 feet, 30, 60 by 30 feet, the weight of it. How could, that was only God that could tore that up for us. I guarantee you, when the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all those people looked at this, like, what in the world is going on? If you can imagine, I don't know what else was going on. I know it was an earthquake, but those people should have ran to those seats and those places where the emergency was and said, man, I get to see something I've never seen before. I get to go to a place I've never been before. You mean to tell me I could come past the altar? See, that wasn't the altar, y'all. You hear me when I say that was not the altar. The altar was built a certain way. That's in a whole nother chapter. This was behind the veil. And there was a mercy seat there behind the veil. And God would visit there at that particular time. So they would know it was God. And you didn't have to create a fire. He was the fire. Oh, God. Let me close out on here. Father, we thank you so much for our salvation. Our salvation, what you did for us. That you was the living sacrifice on our behalf. God, I thank you, Lord, that you open our eyes to understand the truth of the matter. That you did this thing for us. That you died for us. You sacrificed for us. And here we walk around lame. Lame in our worship. Lame in our giving. Lame in everything we do, God. Look at what you did for us. We have no longer, we are separated from you. We don't have to wait to next 2026 of New Year's to try to get reconciled back. Lord, we can do it right now. You can ask for forgiveness right now. You could go on your own behalf because Jesus was that high priest. That you don't have to wait for a person to take you into the back and you confess your sins. You got an opportunity to confess it to him right now. What have you done that God ain't pleased with? God didn't play games. He killed them off the spot. And here we are under this grace, and we're not taking full advantage of our salvation. Shame on us if we're even thinking otherwise. Lord, I repent for my sins. If you don't do it, I will. I ain't doing it on your behalf. I'm not your priest. You already have that priest. Lord, forgive me for even thinking less than faith when you went through all of that in one day. Oh, yeah, God. I heard you ask me that question. Was this all in one day? Yes, even Jesus did this in all in one day. Actually, he got arrested, but it took place in one day, a whole weekend technically. But he did it in one day, sacrificed his life one day, really a few hours. Set aside the arrest, set aside the betrayal. This Friday that we call Good Friday, he gave up the ghost, locked his head into his shoulders, and asking the Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Oh, shucks. And his dying hour, asking the Father, praying to him, not thinking about his pain, but he's asking the Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Lord, we repent. We repent, Lord. We repent from our heart, not just our confessions. We repent, Lord. If we said something, we did something, we thinking like we should not be thinking, Lord, forgive us, for we have sinned against you. We run around. We can't get healed. You got Jesus. All you got to do is look up. We can be healed through him. Forgiven through him. We have access because of what he did. We can get to the Father without going to some priest. All these rituals you see now, that's over. Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, God.